Fitter, Happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Today is Are You OK Day, an initiative that encourages people to reach out to others in an effort to discuss their mental health. Are You OK Day encourages us to ask, listen, encourage action, and check in with our loved ones. Joining me in the studio to tell us more is the Senior Nurse for the Mental Health Emergency Response Line, Laurie Coffey. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us on the MAG this morning. Now, first off, can you tell us a little bit about how Are You OK Day got started and how it's grown?
I'm actually not all that familiar with the history of it.
Okay, sure.
But I'm more familiar with how it's grown. And I think the energy it's created and the awareness is what is the most important thing.
Absolutely,
to
yes.
come out of it. And just that, putting it on the agenda, normalising the approach of checking up on people, making it a part of, not a part of life rather than a part of approaching it as something's wrong with somebody, just checking okay. And so that's just been a lovely initiative, and it's just the energy it's created and the momentum it's created is just unbelievable, and it's fantastic to get this opportunity to come on to a show like this and discuss that, yeah.
Would you say that's the main focus of Are You OK Day? Is not maybe not necessarily normalising mental health issues, but normalising the conversations about those issues?
That's exactly right, Chris, because, I mean... If you use analogies of physical health, you know, we talk quite openly about infections, things like this. They're not normal to have them, but we have no problem in discussing them. So events such as this and focuses such as this and initiatives such as this put that emphasis on normalising the discussion.
Yeah.
You know, the experience may be abnormal, but the discussion is normalised.
Why do you think mental health issues are, to some extent, still stigmatised in our society?
I think it's fear.
Yeah.
I think it's, in a nutshell, just people are scared of talking about it, and then they're scared of disclosing for the fear of appearing weak or a fear of exposing other people that they're concerned about to be somehow, you know, vulnerable because of it becoming more well-known. Yeah. And we see this all the time with people from all walks of life. You know, when they do make that step and come out as if it worked into talking about it and being open, they feel a sense of relief and a burden off their shoulder. Whereas, and so it's not necessarily imposed from without in society. It's often something that we put on ourselves. And you can see why. It's people just have a hesitancy to not appear strong, to appear vulnerable and to acknowledge that other than to people who they're really close to. And even then, they're sometimes reluctant to do that.
I guess a part of that maybe is kind of a misunderstanding of where these issues come from. You know, traditionally in our society, maybe, you know, as you said, these things are kind of a sign of weakness, but really we understand now that they're not. They're chemical issues or issues that shouldn't actually be something that is stigmatised. Do you think this historical aspect has any factors in how people still think about their mental health today, or have we kind of are we starting to move beyond that?
Oh, we're definitely moved a long way beyond that. I mean, this, for example, this discussion today wouldn't have occurred even 10 years ago, yep. unless it was a standalone discussion. But this is a regular thing. There's other media outlets doing, you know, performing similar functions such as this. And, you know, I even got an app sent to me from my mobile phone carrier reminding me of this day. So, you know, it's fantastic that that's happened. Again, and there's also been lots of issues in areas of mental health that were previously seen as absolutely no-go areas.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're focusing on today, but things like psychosis and such are now so easily treated to a large extent with some of the treatments we have available now that weren't available previously. It's made the people who have the unfortunate experience of having those experiences be able to address them and then be reconnect with the part of their life that they got disconnected from. Yeah. So, you know, in years gone past, that was maybe not an option, you know, in terms of, I'm talking about things like medications that were available now that weren't available in the past.
Sure.
But also, there's been a lot of work in making people more aware of other things that they can do in terms of prevention and managing symptoms of, mental health problems and so forth. So that all of that has contributed to normalizing, if you like, the conversation, you know. And it's a fact of life. People do have a lot of people have mental health problems throughout their life, you know. Or, and especially in issues of anxiety and depression, and that's really what the Are You OK Day is focusing mostly on, those that field. That's very common, and it's very treatable, and it's very manageable. But on the same token, it can be very debilitating if people aren't getting access to the supports that they that would benefit them.
You mentioned anxiety and depression there as the focus of what Are You OK Day is about. How common are these feelings in people, in your experience?
Very, very common. Yeah. And it's really the degree, if you know, everybody experiences anxiety. Anxiety is normal. It's when it becomes debilitating that it becomes a problem. So, I mean, an example is, without anxiety, we wouldn't perform better in a sports final. We wouldn't perform better in an exam. And we wouldn't even focus on doing a simple task like coming here to give a presentation. Yeah. So anxiety is normal. It's when it becomes debilitating that it's a problem. And there's lots of factors that contribute to that, how debilitating that becomes. And that's what Are You OK Day, and depression and anxiety are very closely related. You can have one without the other, but often they co-occur. So you can, by treating it and by normalising it, or normalising the fact that, you know, it may occur, you can make people feel less threatened. Mm-hmm. Can make other people around them feel more comfortable with addressing it. And that's what I think, one of the huge benefits of things like this, you know, emphasis like this, because it just makes everybody feel just that little bit more comfortable about even putting the subject on the agenda.
You mentioned, obviously, anxiety becoming debilitating as a real issue here. What are some of the risk factors of that happening?
The risks of it happening, or you mean
the risk to that actually developing from normal anxieties, as you kind of talked about earlier, into something that's more debilitating?
Well, when it becomes more debilitating, and people can have extreme symptoms, you know, one extreme example is a panic attack, where the person's totally incapacitated by, excuse me, and having trouble breathing, sweating, palpitations, this sorts of thing. So, and then it's on a continuum going down. That's the most extreme. Others can just be mild, or, you know, butterflies in the stomach, for want of a better term. So people can avoid situations that they think might be anxiety provoking. And that's very common, you know, where people sort of think, oh, you know, I don't feel comfortable there. I won't get into that situation. And again, that's entirely normal to a degree. But if it's stopping you, gets to the point where it's stopping a person going out, or stopping them going to a function that they would like to go to, like a social function or something like that, or, you know, even a work do, or, you know, just some sort of social event, or even a public event, because of that fear, then that's sort of becoming a problem for that person, definitely, yeah.
It seems then that identifying what your own personal triggers are that brings these things on is obviously then very important, then that will maybe allow you to deal with them. Is that correct?
It is. If you're one of those people who's having that experience where it's become debilitating, and there's a whole field of treatment around cognitive behaviour therapy and so forth, where people focus on the action and how it's related to the thought, and what the behaviours are that are triggered by that thought, and then learn often just by identifying it and by being exposed to the knowledge, that can be a treatment in itself.
Yeah. Hence the importance of talking about it.
But often, you know, things, if they're left to fester, can become greater than they are to begin with, or greater than they need to be. And sometimes it's good to have outlets all the time, you know, to have ways of managing life events that are sort of therapeutic, healthy, and are rewarding for you. And often just having that and healthy social connections, things like this, can be extremely beneficial and just prevent things from escalating to that next level.
Absolutely. You're listening to Fitter Happier on The Mag, and this week we're talking about Are You OK Day with Senior Nurse for the Mental Health Emergency Response Line, Laurie Coffey. Now, Laurie, how can we offer support to friends or family experiencing these issues?
I think you just need to really examine your relationship with somebody, and, you know, if you are having a good relationship, even at whatever level it is, if you use your sense of awareness, you're often tuned in to what people are experiencing. And sometimes I think one of the barriers is that fear of saying anything. You know, you might be kind of aware that somebody's not travelling okay, and that's the simple phrase, are you okay, you know? And I don't want that to become a cliche and something that, you know, demean it in any way. So But you don't have to use those exact words. But, you know, just checking in with someone that they're okay, because often we're kind of aware, or in retrospect we're aware when we become, you know, when it becomes known that somebody's had a problem, we go, oh, I wondered about that, you know. But also just encouraging, and it depends on your relationship with them, you know, whether it's a partner or a friend or, and excuse me, and that determines, or a work colleague or whatever, I guess, at what level you can sort of, you know, step in, and to what degree you can interact with them. But just having that confidence to start the conversation, make sure that things are going okay. And if not, then saying, well, you know, maybe if the person discloses that, you know, this or that is happening, this is how they feel. And just by listening to them, you may, in fact, just that might be all they needed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And often that's the case, you know. And if not, and if you feel that you're floundering, then that's when you say, oh, well, have you, you know, maybe considered seeing somebody else, you know, because I'm more than happy to be supportive to you as a friend or whatever, but this is not my area.
There's qualifications,
know?
Of course, with that as well. Well, let's talk about that one. If people are think they're experiencing these mental health issues and do need help, what sort of researchers, where can they find help?
Okay, so if they, there's a lot of things, we're sort of focusing sort of on the very diseasey model here, you know, where somebody has a problem, but I'm happy to talk about that. But just on that, if you know, they can start just by, a GP is a good place to start, just to somebody, because people, I feel comfortable talking to a GP about personal issues, you know, obviously personal health issues, you know, and physical health that they wouldn't disclose to others, even friends that they're happy to talk to. And the GP can take it from that point. And as I said, often just starting that conversation is enough.
Yeah.
If not, then it can be escalated. And there's all sorts of services that the GP can offer at that level. They can offer themselves as a service. They can refer on if they believe it's, you know, more specialist help's indicated, and there's programs under Medicare that are available to people under mental health care plans and so forth. And then there's specialist mental health services. There's support services like Lifeline, where people can ring and talk. There's various counselling services out in the community with community counselling services. So there's all those sorts of things. But that's if it gets to that point, you know. And sometimes if you're sort of more aware of your own mental health, and that's the huge benefit of something like this. It's not necessarily focusing on the problem end of town. It's focusing on an awareness of mental health as an issue. You know, are you okay? And just even thinking about that, there's lots of things we can incorporate into our daily lives that will benefit our own mental health and possibly and hopefully act as a sort of prophylactically, you know?
Yeah.
For example, just trying to have relationships with people. Activities, physical activity is hugely important. And sometimes there's reasons people can't do these things. It might be health reasons or so forth. Being connected to other people. And sometimes people say, well, I'm lonely. I don't have, you know, friends or family in this area. You know, see what's out there. And even doing something as simple as helping out at the local op shop or something like that may be of benefit, you know, because it's, let's face it, we're a social animal, humans. We crave company, we crave validation from other people about who we are and what we are, and without that we flounder, you know.
Well, look, these are really important issues that increasingly a lot of us are having to deal with, and it's great that an initiative like Are You OK Day is getting those conversations started. Laurie, thank you so much for joining us on the Mags, mate.
Thank you, Chris. And just before I go, a huge congratulations to Chris. He's just had a recent baby.
Thank you very much, yes. That was Senior Nurse for the Mental Health Emergency Response Line, Laurie Coffey, there on this week's Fit Happier, discussing the purpose and importance of Are You OK Day, which is today. And if you're having issues with mental health and need to talk to someone, call Lifeline on 13 11 14.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.